Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're so glad to have you. I'll point you to a couple of things in the bulletin, and I need to make one correction. We've got at the top of the list in the bulletin that Agape is meeting tomorrow night, but that's not the case. There's no circle tomorrow night, and I guess circle resumes next month or something. But there's no circle tomorrow night. We know that there's no Agape tomorrow night, so don't plan to be there tomorrow night. We had a request to put out the word. If anybody's borrowed tables or chairs out of here in the fellowship hall and they haven't made it back yet, if we could see that those get back, that would be much appreciated. The other thing I'll mention this morning is that we had an air mattress mix-up. So many of you were good to loan us air mattresses so that we could have the counselors for the day camp stay on those air mattresses. And somebody's got an air mattress we think that may not be theirs. So maybe double check your things. And if you've got something that doesn't look like what you took, I think what we have over at the office is a double or a queen size. And what we're missing is a twin size, but it's a thick, high twin is what we think. So just double check if you would, and if you find anything, let us know. Are there other announcements we should share today for the good of the community? Joe. Thank you, Joe. And we can also note, Latifah was reminding me, we've got mid-year statements, giving statements are in your mailboxes in here, so check those out. And if you have any questions about anything on that, give us a call, let us know. We'd be happy to look at it with you. We've got one thank you note that I'm going to ask Mickey to read.
Holly Grove Lutheran Church, thank you very much for the beautiful prayer shawl. We admire the talent of the persons who make the shawls, whether they are crocheted or knitted. We also appreciate the prayers and blessings from each of you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers and concerns. Love, Dan and Marie Parks.
We wish happy birthday this week to Marcus. Does anybody know him? Yeah. And happy anniversary to Neil and Terry. Are there other folks we should add to that short list this week? Yes. Yeah, we sent all of them a prayer shawl if you weren't here the Sunday before, and they were really tickled. So yeah, thank you to those who made that happen for sure. Let's pray for the folks with special occasions in their life this week. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. Come on up this way. Good morning, Hannah. Hello again. Okay, I've got a game that I want to play with you guys. And some of you know how to read a little bit. Okay, so here's what I need you to do. I'm going to put a card like this on my head so that you can see what it says, but I cannot see what it says. Okay? So I'm going to have to guess what this card says by what you tell me about what's written on the card. Okay? Does that make sense? You have to give me hints. Yeah, and I can ask you questions, and you can tell me about it. Okay, you guys ready to try? Here's how we're going to do it. Since some of you know how to read and some of you don't yet, what I want to do is let's have Rosalie. I'm going to put the card on my head, and then I'm going to put it down, and I'm going to close my eyes and my ears, and I want you to whisper to everybody up here to tell them what it is, okay? Can you do that? All right, here we go. Don't nobody say it, all right? Because I don't want to know what it is. I want you guys to tell me. All right, do you see the card, Rosalie? All right, I'm going to put it down. All right, now whisper to them and tell them what it is. La, 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 I don't hear what you're saying. I can't hear you at all, and hopefully this singing isn't loud on the microphone. Okay, are we ready? Does everybody know what it is? Okay, so the thing that's written on my head, is it something that you would have at your house? No. Okay. What can you tell me about it? Is it an animal?
Yes.
Okay, but it's not an animal at your house. Where would you find this kind of animal? A lake or a pond? Okay, so like maybe a fish? No. Tell me something else about this animal. It starts with a D. A dinosaur? It's a bird? Oh, okay. What kind of noise would it make? A quack noise. So like a duck. Is it a duck? Yeah, okay, great. You guys got this. Let's do another one, okay? All right, now remember, Rosalie's going to tell you what this one says, but don't tell me, all right? Here we go. All right, you see it, Rosalie? Okay. La, 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 I don't hear what Rosalie is telling them, whispering so softly. This is actually working. I thought this was not going to work. Okay, you guys ready? I couldn't hear a thing you guys said. I can't believe it. You guys are really good at this. Okay, is this another animal?
No.
Is it something alive?
No.
Is it something you would have at your house? It helps you cook. Is it an oven?
No.
A microwave?
No.
It does what? It toasts something. The broiler setting on the oven?
No.
Is it a toaster?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, great. Okay, one more I want you guys to do with me. Okay, here we go. Remember, don't tell me what it says. Okay, you see it, Rosalie?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I'm singing, and I am here. And you're my dad, and I'm singing. Okay, you got it?
Daddy.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Hannah. Okay, you got it? Is this one alive?
Yes.
We have some confusion.
Yes.
It's a kind of. Okay, we got some yes. We got more yeses, so I'm gonna say it's probably alive. Is this something that you have at your house? Well, you guys are giving me confusing answers. Well, tell me about this thing, or whatever it is. It's next to you? Okay, what else? It lives across the road. Is it grass? That's what lives across the road from me. No? Okay. Next door? Okay, like is it a house?
Yes.
Kind of? What else can you tell me about this thing?
Starts with an N.
Starts with an N.
And it ends with a
All right, not letters. Tell me something that not about the letters. What else? It's a person that lives next to you with two legs? Is it a neighbor?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. A neighbor. I want to talk a little bit more about neighbors, actually. So neighbors are people who live next to you and have two legs. And they live sometimes across the street. What else do you guys know about neighbors? Hopefully they're nice. Some neighbors are nice. Okay. But the thing you guys all seem to agree on is a neighbor has to be somebody who's close to you. Is that right? Like they live close to you?
No?
Huh. Okay, well, that's what you guys told me when you were describing. You said it was somebody who lived across from you or next door to you. What if they live behind you? Could that still be your neighbor?
Yes.
Okay. What if they live on the other side of town? Would that still be your neighbor?
Yes.
Some no's and some yeses? Hmm. Okay. What if it's somebody you've never met before? Is that your neighbor?
Yes.
We're not sure.
That's
a stranger? Okay. This is getting a little confusing. Well, we're going to hear a story today where somebody asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Because he was a little confused too. And Jesus tells this story about the Good Samaritan, about these people who see somebody who needs help on the road. And Jesus says the one who helps is his neighbor. And the point of Jesus' story is that even people we don't know, we should treat like our neighbor. Even people who live far away from us, we should treat like our neighbor. Now, you guys are still growing up and still children, so there are some rules about strangers, aren't there, Conrad? Yeah, and if there are strangers around, you should have your parents help you figure out what needs to happen, right? You should ask your parents what to do in that situation. But what Jesus tells us is that all people, not just the people we live near, not just the people we like, not just the people who are nice to us, not just the people we know, but that all people are our neighbors, and that we're supposed to love our neighbor. And that means not just the people who live near us, but everybody. Can you guys believe that? Everybody we're supposed to love like our neighbor, okay? Will you guys say a prayer with me today? Let's pray. Lord God, help us to see our neighbors as all people, not just the people who live beside us, and help us to love them. Amen. Thank you, guys. Wonderful. If you are going to Children's Church, you can line up at this door, or you're welcome to stay with us, too.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It's not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt against me.
Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
The second reading is from Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves. From the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So Jericho is one of the oldest cities in the world. It's been continuously inhabited for something for like 3,000 years. But the site of the city of Jericho has actually been home to quite a few settlements that are even older than that, with the earliest settlement evidence at Jericho being something like 11,000 years ago. And Jericho is considered the oldest known walled city, with fortifications appearing there almost 9,000 years ago. But the detail about Jericho that's the most pertinent to the story of this compassionate Samaritan is that Jericho is also considered the lowest inhabited city in the world. This is the area, this area where Jericho is, where the lowest elevation on earth is found, around the Dead Sea. I remember being near here with my family close to 20 years ago, and it was the strangest thing because we had hiked up this giant mountain called Masada, and it towered over everything else around it, and we got to the top, and we're told, "Okay, well done. Basically, you are now at sea level after that long hike." And then, as we stood there observing the view around us, here come these Israeli jets doing patrol through the area, and as they come through, they drop, and they're flying lower than where we are standing, which means they're flying, I suppose, lower than sea level. So my question is, what do those altimeters say? I'm going to have to ask Max about this maybe later. Do altimeters go negative? I don't know, but they were below sea level here. In any case, there is some seriously low country around Jericho, and the city itself lies 846 feet below sea level. In contrast, the old city of Jerusalem, where the man who falls into the hands of robbers begins his journey, is at an elevation of about 2,500 feet. And Jerusalem and Jericho are probably less than 30 miles apart as the crow flies. So just imagine this ancient road to Jericho that drops something like 3,300 feet in elevation between two places not much farther apart than here and Salisbury. It would have to be full of twists and turns, switchbacks and blind curves, all of which would make it the perfect road for ambushes by robbers and bandits. This Jericho road would have had a reputation for being dangerous. So maybe that has something to do with the reactions of the priest and the Levite, who see this man in need, but move to put as much distance as they can between themselves and some potential danger. I mean, what if the same robbers who got this man were still lurking nearby, hoping to take advantage of anybody who stopped to help him? Or maybe their concerns were different. Maybe they were in a hurry. Maybe they didn't know the man was still alive. Maybe they were on foot and didn't think they could carry him down this steep incline. The truth is, there's always a ton of reasons in our head for not having our day, our plans, our life totally upended by somebody in need. Whatever their reasons were, the priest and the Levite, they don't stop. They don't investigate. They don't help. And probably they can justify themselves by the letter of the law. We've talked before, I think, about purity laws, how if you were unclean, you couldn't fully take part in the worship life of the community. And it's a pretty common interpretive move around this passage to say that maybe the priest and the Levite, who both have duties in the temple, maybe they couldn't risk their cleanliness by touching what could be a dead body. After all, the law can be used to support that. Keeping clean could be one way to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And the neighbor bit? Well, this half-dead man wasn't really their neighbor, right? I mean, they didn't even know him. I mean, of course, they would help their own. But how could anyone say that this man they'd never laid eyes on was their neighbor? So the priest and the Levite, they had an out. Flimsy, maybe, but a legal one. They had a way to say that it was following the law that prevented them from helping this man. And this is the heart of the issue that the lawyer poses to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Who am I obligated to care for? And who can I look the other way on? Who can I say doesn't qualify to be welcomed into my sphere of compassion? Who can I, using existing law, mind you, distance myself from and leave to suffer, even to die? The story of this Samaritan who has compassion on this half-dead man is Jesus' answer to the question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus' answer doesn't have anything to do with the legality of turning away from someone who is suffering. You know, laws, of course, can be written and interpreted to suit whoever holds power and influence at the moment. So when Jesus answers the question, what we're getting is not just about law, it's about a higher authority. This comes from God incarnate. And the clear answer to the who is my neighbor question in the story Jesus tells is that your neighbor is the one in need. For the Jews of Jesus' day, the Samaritans were a despised people. And yet, this is exactly the one through whom the mercy of God flows for this half-dead man. The neighbor, it turns out, may be those we did not expect. And we, who have the benefit of knowing what will come of Jesus' long march to Jerusalem, we know it's suffering, death, and the cross, but followed 3 days later by the miracle of the resurrection through which we have life. We know the whole story and how it goes, so we might answer the question this way. Who is my neighbor? Well, it's only the ones for whom Christ died. Which is to say, all people. To be a follower of Jesus is to love the Lord your God with all of your being and to love your neighbor, that is, all those in need, as yourself. To follow Jesus is not to hide behind the cover of legalities, but to see the need for what it is, to be moved by that need, and then crucially to do something about it. To follow Jesus is not to generally want to help people, but to be the people who act to meet the specific needs of those who are suffering, even if we really don't want to. To follow Jesus is to be the ones who, like the Samaritan, show mercy. Go and do likewise. Amen.
Thank you.
what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. We pray, Lord, for your church, that it would be steadfast and faithful in its mission to proclaim redemption through Jesus Christ. We pray for all ministers of the gospel, whether they be ordained or lay people, for all those who proclaim that the word is near. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the Gulf Coast and all areas affected by storms and floods. We pray for livestock and fields, for ranchers and farmers, and for all stewards of the earth, that as God's goodness is revealed in creation, we act with justice toward all creatures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for lawyers and other advocates, for local, regional, and national governments, and for peace throughout the world. We pray that you would send gracious and upright leaders to govern with mercy and truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for all those who feel hurt or ashamed, for those who find it difficult to trust. We pray, Lord, for all those who are bereaved and sick. We pray for all who are in any need, especially Burnett, the family of Harold, Lydia, the family of John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Bonnie, Walter, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, Eric, Judy, Misty, Alice, Al, Dan, Kathy, Cindy, the family of Anna, Robert, and all those we name now. Provide compassionate care, Lord, to all those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." This morning we'll sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Thank you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.